Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Monday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein in the Liberty University studio, filling in for Todd today. I'll have a little more to say on what's going on with him in a moment. I'm coming to you from my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. And it's always a privilege to be talking with you, Starnes Nation. We have a great list of guests that Grace has put together, and I'll tell you about those in a moment. But this hour is wide open for your calls. So join the coast-to-coast conversation, if you would, at 844-747-8868. Same number as always. Dylan will be there to take your call and find out what you want to talk about at 844-747-8868. Before getting into anything else, I want to make sure that we recognize the folks in the South who have dealt with Mother Nature's fury. And I come from a part of the world, the Midwest, where we get our share of tornadoes, we get our share of straight-line hurricane-force winds, a phenomenon called a derecho, and I was driving through a town I used to live in the other day that had a tornado one year and 2 years later had the derecho that caused tremendous damage. This is the kind of thing that it takes generations to recover from. Obviously, more than two dozen people lost their lives Friday in Mississippi in these storms that come after dark, rain-wrapped, as they say. You just don't see it. The wonderful thing about technology and radar these days is that they can detect it and get the warning out. But sometimes the storms are just too powerful. And so for the, 25, I believe, are now reported dead in Mississippi, countless dozens others are injured. And then, of course, the storms didn't let up. Even this morning, still some severe thunderstorms through parts of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, up into South Carolina. So for all of those good folks in this region, we are thinking about you. We are praying for you. And if you are so inclined to provide some help, they could certainly use whatever it is you could offer. And a great way for you to do that, frankly, is to go to SamaritansPurse.org. Reverend Franklin Graham has things well in hand, has such a tremendous team. They are already responding in two locations. They could use some volunteers as well. Go to SamaritansPurse.org. Right there on the main page, you can click to volunteer. You can click to give financial resources as well. But I wanted to start today by recognizing that the folks in the South are dealing with, again, Mother Nature's fury, and I want them to know, because we have so many good listeners in the South, that they are certainly top of mind for us on this Monday. I want to share some information with you now regarding our friend Todd, and it is not bad, but he will not be here today, and he will not be here for a couple of days. If you were listening during Thursday's show, you might have detected that Todd started feeling unwell as the show went on. Well, as it turns out, he was suffering from a serious illness that required hospitalization. It is not his heart. He shared with you fully the situation he's had off and on with that. But it is a serious illness. He is undergoing treatment, and the doctors say he will make a full recovery, could be back behind the microphone as soon as later this week. And if you know anything about Todd, You know, he's probably trying to figure out how to get the engineers to fire up a microphone at the hospital so he can join you right now. So once again, Todd is still at the hospital, could be back here as soon as later this week, but it is an illness that required hospitalization and a fair amount of care. But the doctors, again, say full recovery anticipated. And as always, your thoughts and prayers are appreciated for the host of this program. So, Todd, if you are listening today, Godspeed. Please do whatever they tell you to do. I know that is not your normal inclination when it comes to matters like this, but please take good care so you can get back here as soon as possible. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us. Coming up on this program today, in our next hour, we'll speak with the president of the Convention of States, Mark Meckler. ConventionofStates.com is their website. They have been doing polling recently on a variety of topics, and I've had the occasion to speak with Mr. Meckler on my program, where I am in the state of Iowa. You've heard him on this program, of course, multiple times. Some interesting numbers with regard to what the American people feel about a possible indictment of former President Trump. Convention of States President Mark Meckler, less than an hour away. Also in our next hour, Pastor Robert Jeffers of the First Baptist Church of Dallas. Again, he is the official chaplain of this radio program, as you probably well know. Well, he was at the Trump rally in Waco on Saturday, spoke at the rally, and it's going to be really interesting to get his sense about what he saw. And I say that because there are so many people, so-called in-the-know people in the big cities on the coasts, who say the Trump phenomenon is over, this investigation is going to be the thing that knocks him off the stage, etc. Well, I think the rest of America has not gotten that memo, and Pastor Jeffers will tell us what he experienced firsthand. That's coming up at the bottom of hour number two. Hour number three of our three-hour program today. Return guests to the program both. First, Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner. She is a political investigative reporter, and she just had a wonderful piece in the paper and online. How these big city Democrats just don't get it that crime is an issue as it happens to explode. They're just ignorant, not only about the political impact, but more importantly about the public safety impact on their citizens. So Sarah Westwood joins us at the start of hour number three. In hour number three as well, Congresswoman Kat Kamick from the great state of Florida. We'll talk TikTok. We'll talk about this upside-down world that the Biden administration lives in when it comes to funding for various priorities and how they claim they're doing good when in reality they're doing tremendous harm to the nation. They seem to have this thought that if they say it often enough and loud enough, it will become true. That is not the case, and Congresswoman Kamick will call them out on it. So all of that and more in this 3 hours, and again, your calls at 844-747-8868. In our next segment, I want to talk to you about some thoughts I have on this 2024 Republican presidential race. And contrary to what some may want or some may think, it is going to be a race and there will be multiple serious candidates. This will not be a coronation or a cakewalk for anyone. And we are already seeing some divisions in the ranks on this. And I have to tell you, we need to have a healthy discussion and a spirited conversation about issues. But it cannot be the primary and caucus campaign that makes it impossible for the next president to be a Republican. In other words, let's have a good family fight, but to the outside world, we need to show unity. And I'm going to talk to you about that at greater length. That's kind of the theme for what I want to talk about today. But I'm happy to take your calls at any time, 844-747-8868. More of my thoughts on that coming up after this break. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNES.
Kyle breaking out the Fleetwood Mac on a Monday edition of the Todd Starnes program. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd from the Liberty University studio. Good of you to be along with us. 844-747-8868. That is how you can connect with us. That's the number that Jerry used to call in from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, listening on the flagship, the mighty 990 KWAM. Jerry, Jeff Stein in for Todd. How are you?
Okay, fine. Good to hear you, and thanks very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to comment. I managed to watch as much of the Trump rally as I could in Waco, and one of the things he did was take off on Ron DeSantis again, talking about how Ron DeSantis wouldn't open up Florida during the COVID problem. And I thought that it would be good to point out the actual truth, that Ron DeSantis was one of the earliest people to open up Florida, and along with Governor Kemp in Georgia, and along with Sweden. And Trump criticized all three of those people and countries heavily for opening up too early. And I thought it was a real cheap shot for him to come out and, I don't know if it's fake news or lie, one or the other, as far as what he said about Ron DeSantis. And I thought it might also be interesting. I know President Trump wouldn't mention this, but I thought that people should know that in October 2020, President Trump gave the Service to America Medal to Dr. Fauci. And I wonder if anybody has any comments on that.
Well, I think we've learned an awful lot since that time in terms of what the original advice was and some of the backstory. Let's just say that I personally don't have the same feeling about Dr. Fauci as I did early on. With regard to the Trump taking on DeSantis, in the Washington Examiner, and we'll have a reporter from that paper joining us in hour number three, they ran a story, and I would encourage you to go look at it on their website, WashingtonExaminer.com. They did a fact check and came to many of the same conclusions you did in the comments you just made, Jerry, about President Trump said certain things about Florida, about their schools are bad and this and this. And there were various things that just didn't track. So you are getting some coverage I don't want to say fact check because that has connotations. But there are people pointing things out. Do you think, Jerry, that it diminishes President Trump and his standing to take off after Governor DeSantis in this way?
I think that if you want to go after Governor DeSantis on policy, on things that are true, I'm all for it. But for instance, President Trump's posting that tweet implying that Ron DeSantis could be a pedophile for hanging around with underage girls when he was a college professor, that's appalling. And quite frankly, after voting for Donald Trump twice, it'll never happen again. It'll never happen again. When he suggested or intimated or whatever you want to call it, that Ron DeSantis could be a pedophile, that broke 100%. And now this thing with making stuff up about whether or not Florida was open or not, and how he took too long to open it up, like he's the Nostradamus of COVID now, I don't think so. Not after giving Fauci, and I know hindsight's 2020, but so are the facts. And he lied again about Ron DeSantis. And I think people ought to know the truth, that Donald Trump is not going to be walking on water and turning water into wine anytime soon.
Jerry, thanks so much for calling in from Oak Ridge, Tennessee today on the Todd Starnes
Thank
Show.
You.
Appreciate it greatly. 844-747-8868. Jerry touched on something that I'm going to talk about as time permits in this hour, and that's, again, how this race is going to shape up. But now let's go to the phones, and Joe is calling in from Ellijay, Georgia. Joe, thanks so much for taking time to call in on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein here. You watched the speech Saturday, did you?
Jeff, I did, and it's great to be on the great Todd Starnes Show. And, yes, I thought it was the best speech I've ever heard, and I want to predict that Trump will win in a huge landslide and the stock market will break all-time highs. Now, I will say this. If Trump is not the nominee, I will support the Republican nominee. I think we all ought to go out and be for whoever we want to be for. But then whoever the Republican nominee, whether it's Trump or DeSantis, and I like DeSantis too, I think we need to get behind them. We don't want to elect a Democrat, but I thought it was a great speech, and I think Trump will win in a landslide, and the stock market will break every record in history.
Do you think that President Trump making the comments that he has about Governor DeSantis, is that helpful or necessary to his cause at this point in the ultimate goal?
No, sir, I don't. I think he shouldn't do that. I'm still strongly for him, but I think we need to be positive about people. Don't attack certainly people in our own party. And I think DeSantis is a good man, and if he wins, I'll be strongly for DeSantis. But I do think Trump will win because I tell people that don't like Trump, I say policy over personality, because I'm a stockholder and I've been in the stock market for 40 or 50 years. And when Trump was president, my stock portfolio did the best in history. So I think he's a great leader, and I think he'll be a great president if he's reelected. But I also like DeSantis. I like Glenn Youngkin of Virginia. So let's don't attack. I don't believe in us. Let's be positive and get behind whoever you want to. But whoever the nominee is, Jeff, we need to get behind them and do everything we can to make sure we have a Republican president in 2024.
How'd the storms treat you and your part of the world? Did you escape pretty much unscathed?
They were okay. We live in Ellijay. Ellijay's in North Georgia, and thank
right.
God we got very little damage. But my heart goes out and prayers go out to all the people in Mississippi. But anyway, you're doing a great job, and I love Todd. I will pray for Todd, and it's a great national show, and it's an honor to be on the show. And, Jeff, I wish you the best of luck in anything you do with your fine show.
Well, you're very kind, Joe, and you're very supportive of this medium of talk radio, but of this program in particular. Thanks for calling in, and stay safe there, if you would, in Ellijay, Georgia.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, sir. Coming to you from the Liberty University studio on the Todd Starnes Show, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today, 844-747-8868. Guests on the Todd Starnes radio program appear via the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and in times like these, it's important, more important than ever, to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, but then do something about it, because a portion of every dollar they bring in is donated to organizations that fight for the causes we care about. If you switch to Patriot Mobile now and use promo code Todd, not only will you get free activation, but also a free gift. Free's pretty good to start a week, isn't it? Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers that other carriers use, plans to fit every budget, and great discounts for multi-line users and our veteran and first responder heroes. Switching is easy. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Special discount, free premier activation. But you need to use promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. More about the civility of the presidential race. And we'll also take a call from James calling in from North Carolina as the Todd Starnes Show continues. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Monday from the Liberty University studio. We're taking your calls, 844-747-8868. That's the number that James used to call in from North Carolina, where he listens to the Todd Starnes Show on the Talk Station. James, thanks so much for making the call. How are you today?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
I am well. What's on your mind, sir?
I want to talk about President Trump and the speech and everything. I watched some of it. It's hard to watch his speeches. Sometimes it goes off a little bit. But I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to vote for him whether he's not the nomination or not, because he was the most unfairly treated person in the history of the world, and he still got more done than the last five presidents put together. Just imagine if the Democrats and everybody else would have worked with him instead of against him. So if he doesn't run, I'm going to mail him in, okay? And did he hurt DeSantis' feelings? Is that where we're at? You can tell the people that worry about that don't live in the same world that people that out here work for live in, okay?
What do you do for a living?
I'm a home builder.
All right, so you know how to actually...
one thing, it's another.
Oh, I hear
you. If you don't triple, then you can't get no help. So, I mean, this is the real world out here.
And then you're supposed to put a roof on a house and it rains, and you can't get into... I know, I hear you. And that's why I asked, because there are a lot of people out here who talk a lot, but they don't actually create anything. They don't actually do anything. They get in the way of the people like you who make the country work. And Trump, by all rights, should not connect with someone like you, but I get a sense that you think he's really looking out for your best interest.
Well, I can go to the Trump Hotel in New York. I can go to the one in Scotland. I can go to the one in Dubai. And I can actually see something that he has built. If you will tell me where Hillary's something she's built is, or Biden, where he's something built is, I will go look at that. But there is nowhere like that. And that is the reason that they hate him, because he is so successful at actually doing something, okay? And he's got children that are impressive, unlike the current president. So if everybody quit worrying about getting their feelings hurt, I learned sticks and stones when I was 5 years old, man. There's nothing you can say to me that hurts my feelings. Hillary's called me deplorable and unredeemable. I can't even go to heaven, according to Hillary. Joe Biden's called me a white supremacist. I mean, my skin's a quarter inch thick, and nothing nobody says can hurt me, okay? I want somebody who can do something. And President Trump can do something. And he actually came to North Carolina after the hurricane. No other president in the history of America has ever come to Eastern North Carolina after a hurricane. He came to my cousin's yard. She looked up. There's President Trump. He actually cares about people.
That's fantastic. You know? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. We can't worry about hurt feelings.
No, because that's not going to get us anywhere. And we can't worry about what some of these foreign nations think if we do X, Y, or Z, because they won't treat us the same way.
We ought to be reciprocal in that respect, okay?
Yes, sir.
Treat them to how they treat us. If they treat us fairly, we should treat them fairly, okay? We could talk all day, man, but look, I appreciate it.
You got work to do, sir.
Yes, sir, I do right now. All right.
I appreciate you calling in. You have a great day yourself. Not only listening, but then takes time to weigh in, and he's in construction. If it's a nice day, he's got work to do. James, thanks so much, because you have tapped in to something that the people on the coasts, primarily on the East Coast in the Beltway, but also New York, and then, of course, on the West Coast, most of which is, I don't know how we ever get that part of the country back. But the point is, they look at President Trump, and they don't like his demeanor. They don't like the fact that he is challenging the status quo that has made them rich. And I'm talking about people on both sides of the political aisle here. They want to think that these legal issues are going to derail his candidacy. They want to think that the folks who are good working men and women like James, people who live out in the real world, they'd like to think that all of us have soured on him. And the fact of the matter is, not at all true. We'll find out from Pastor Jeffers in about an hour. He was at the rally in Waco. I saw a post, it was an aerial photo of the Trump rally, and the person who posted it was from the far left side of the political spectrum. And he said, well, they only had 10,000 people at the Trump rally, so clearly, you know, this is a real red area, clearly, you know, shows that Trump has no support. He got 10,000 people to show up on a Saturday when, as I understand it, it was hotter than blazes for this time of year, while part of the Final Four was being played, if you care about college basketball. So to say, oh, he only got 10,000, when was the last time a Democrat got 10,000 people to show up unless they were handing something out to the folks? I'll wait. Tell me the last time a Democrat could show up and have 10,000 people wait in line all day in the sun to get a glimpse of a political figure. There's nobody. There is nobody who can command that kind of an audience. And I suppose you could say, well, you know, years ago that might have been 11,000. I don't know. Would I go to see anyone multiple times? I don't go to see the same movie more than once. Just because. So if you have seen somebody in person, do you go a second or third time? I don't know. But to say only 10,000 people showed up, boy, that's a tough sell for me. That's a tough sell. All of these folks who say, well, you know, Trump is over, that's wishful thinking on their part because they don't want him to be a force or a factor. Because he did more, as James, our caller, said, he did more against the tide than any two or three presidents you could name. And so the fact that he wants to go back and do it again bears some serious consideration. Now, this gets to a broader point. You want to make sure you win in November against whoever the Democrats put up. You want to make sure that you have a good, fair fight, quote unquote, for the nomination, but not so that it cuts the legs out from under the candidate who wins. You do not want them to be jeopardized in terms of the chance to win. So there's a fine line to be walked between pushing to dominate a nomination process and going so far that the ultimate nominee is damaged. I'm not suggesting any action on anybody's part at this point. I'm just simply saying, that we just need to watch out for this. I don't know that anyone doubts that Governor DeSantis is a good leader and has done a number of great things for his state, served in the military, served in Congress. Is he the one this time, or is it Donald Trump, or is it any other handful of candidates? Don't know. But the one thing that is certain is once the Republicans have a nominee, at some point, probably right about this point 1 year from now, at whatever point the Republicans have a nominee, then everybody better get on board. Because the alternative, I don't know that the country can survive 4 more years of progressive Democrat tyranny. Simply stated. Benjamin, Dave, Matt, you're all on the line, and I'll take your calls in a moment. Yours too, we hope, at 844-747-8868. Break now, calls on the other side. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. There are a lot of ways you can listen to this radio program. Obviously, on your favorite station, Coast to Coast. You can also listen streaming live at Mighty990.com. That's the website of the flagship KWAM radio, Todd's radio station in Memphis. You can also download the KWAM radio app. Benjamin is listening in Waco, Texas to KWAM, probably through one of those sources. Benjamin, you were at the rally Saturday, I understand. Tell me about it, please.
Yes, sir. I was at the rally, and my mom got there about 5 a.m., and already there was about 100 people in line and hundreds more coming in, and it was just a very enthusiastic crowd. We ended up being about seven rows from the stage, and just a great, great crowd of people and a good rally.
What do you say to those supposed know-it-alls who say that Mr. Trump's popularity is lacking these days, that the crowds are not as enthused, they're not as large? What would you say to them?
I would say it was still a very, very large crowd, and I would say that the poll numbers are lying. There was about, I would say, 8,000, maybe 10,000 inside the gate, and then however many thousands outside that were there. And again, it was 80 degrees and just very, you know, sports going on. And yeah. Waco is primarily conservative, but it was in a more liberal part of town. And so to bring that many people out, I mean, that was still incredible numbers.
Based on your experience that day, are you even more of a supporter of President Trump than you were before? I mean, did this experience lead you to fight even harder for his election again?
Oh, yes, yes. I don't think I could get much more enthusiastic than I already am, but yes, for sure. For sure.
Benjamin.
He did a quite great.
Go ahead, finish your thought. I'm sorry.
It was just a very enthusiastic speech, and I think one of his best ones yet, and he was very, got the crowd very engaged, and I thought that his comments about Ron DeSantis were, I mean, they were lacking, but the media is definitely not telling the full truth, because everybody was cheering him on when he said those comments about DeSantis, so it did not get quiet when he said that.
Very good. Benjamin, thank you so much for sharing that firsthand account. I appreciate talking to you today from Waco, Texas. Dave is listening in North Carolina on the talk station. Thanks for calling the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. You're not as big a fan as Benjamin, I trust.
Well, I'm not. It's not that I'm not as big a fan. I'm very realistic about this. And I'll give you an example. We're going to have a red tsunami in the midterm. We had a red droplet. And I think that a lot of people are like the caller a few callers back who, if Trump's not the nominee, I'm going to write him in. Okay, let's get down to the reality of election math. If it's going to be a Republican or a Democrat, because we're not strong enough a country for a third party, we can't even get together on the two. And so what's going to happen is people are going to do stuff like, I know people that won't vote for Trump because of his petty little personal comments. That alone, and that's one of the things. Whichever candidate you don't vote for will count as a vote for the other. And you know what? It doesn't matter who can draw 10,000 people to a rally or not, because we know the Democrats can get one person to vote 10 times. When it comes down to election fraud on election day, and we all know, I think back to Obama when there was a lot of fraud, and he says, well, but there's no widespread evidence of it. Well, now there is, and they're still saying, well, there's no election. You know, we're in Maricopa County, when they shut down the polls, all of a sudden, the machines aren't working. And then 10 o'clock at night, well, we have to stop counting and do this and do that. And we turn the lights off and close the blinds, and all of a sudden the counts change. I mean, as long as that stuff's going, and I'm not hearing anybody saying, I've got the fix for that. Nobody's preparing for election day. And the thing is, like I told your call screener, people back before the 2016 election, people were asking Trump, can you be a little more presidential? I know people who will not vote, and I'll tell you right now, I voted for him the last two times. But, and I'm not a fan of him. I don't like him as a person. I did vote for him. I know how election math works, and I know what happens. We're gonna be struggling to get through the next 2 years unless things change. Our Congress is not being active. Every one of our members of Congress should be thrown out the door. But anyway, as far as the next presidential election, you know, people, and you're not hearing them come out and say it because of, you know, public political pressure, but there's a lot of people who will not vote for Trump because he won't stop the childish little spoiled girl. You know, I'm a rich little billionaire and I got picked on. Can't feel sorry for you, pal. And
who's the better chance? Who's got the best chance as a Republican of overcoming fraud and winning the 2024 presidential election as you see it right now, knowing that things could change in a heartbeat?
Because of exactly what you just said, I can't even guess. Because one, okay. Trump is an old guy. It's not tomorrow yet. Anything can happen. And I'll guarantee you, I promise you one thing, at the last minute, somebody's going to come up with another trip flare against Trump, and it's going to be a distraction, and it's going to be independent women voters. I talk to a lot of people about this. I talk very seriously. I keep an open mind, and I'll tell you right now, a lot of independent women voters who everybody needs to be successful are just, if you get in the, I was down in a medical situation in Wilmington last week, and I listened to these women, and there ain't nothing like sitting around a group of women and listening to them tell the truth to each other. I'll tell you right now, they're tired of Trump's comments. They're tired of his attitude. And if you lose that particular group of voters, you're in trouble. So I don't know, because, you know, they can come up with something at the last minute, and Trump did this, Trump said that. I don't care about a lot of that. Let's look at fixing the problem instead of having the problem. But they don't do that. And it'll sway a voter in a minute, but if it's at the last minute, and then the election fraud, I would be more concerned about election fraud than anything else, because you know that they're figuring how to do mail-in, how to have dead people vote, how to have illegal aliens cast three ballots each under different names, and, you know, they're coming, and nobody in the Republican Party is talking about any preventive measures to keep that from happening. It gets worse every election, and not one person is talking about fixing it.
Dave, you just did, and we appreciate that. Thanks for the very smart call. Some good things to think about as we go into the break. Dave calling from North Carolina. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We'll talk with Convention of States President Mark Meckler to start off the next hour, and then we'll go back to the phones. 844-747-8868. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starr Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 2 of a Monday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations, and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today, coming to you from the Liberty University studio and my home base at Iowa's home for Todd Starnes, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. Iowa's blowtorch, scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Privileged to be along with you today. We've got some folks queued up on the phone line. We'll get to you as soon as we can at 844-747-8868. At the bottom of the hour, we'll speak live with Pastor Robert Jeffers, a First Baptist in Dallas. He spoke at the Trump rally in Waco over the weekend, and so we'll hear from Pastor Jeffers. Also, you may have heard in your news that just aired at the top of the hour, a tragic story out of Nashville, a shooting at a Christian school. The shooter has been killed, but also some children have suffered as well. And we'll talk with Ben Dieter of the Mighty 990 in Memphis coming up a little later this hour as well to give us the update on that developing story. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Mark Meckler. Mr. Meckler is with Convention of States. Good to have you along on the Todd Starn Show, Mr. Meckler. Jeff Stein in Iowa. Good to talk to you again, sir. How are you?
Oh, very good. Great to be with you, Jeff.
You and I have talked on my program in Iowa in the past, so I'm very well familiar. This audience is familiar, I trust. But for those who need a refresher, remind us, Convention of States is what and does what, please?
The Convention of States is an organization dedicated to using Article 5 of the Constitution to call a convention of states. It takes 34 states to do that, to get in convention and to propose amendments to take power away from the federal government and give it back to the states. Things like term limits and a balanced budget amendment and limiting the size and scope of the federal government. Things that the vast majority of Americans are in favor of, but that Washington, D.C. will never do it on its own.
ConventionofStates.com is the website. Mark Meckler is president of that group. Now, you have worked with the Trafalgar Group over the passage of time to gauge public opinion on a number of topics, and there's a new one concerning this issue of whether or not President Trump might be indicted by a grand jury in New York. Tell us about the poll that you sponsored that they put out in the field on that.
Yeah, this is something that we do regularly. I travel all over the country meeting with grassroots activists. I get a feel for what people are thinking. But our goal is to get the scientific view on what they're thinking. So we're asking folks if they thought it would hurt or help President Trump's campaign if he were indicted, or if it would make no difference. Amazingly, what we found is almost 75%, 74.2% of Americans say it will either help him or it won't hurt him in any way. It won't make any kind of a difference. So these are incredible numbers when you think three-quarters of Americans believe that it either helps Donald Trump or it doesn't hinder Donald Trump in any way, doesn't make a difference. It shows how badly miscalculating the Democrats are in regard to this.
Barely a quarter of those surveyed said it would hurt. So as you say, you combine the other numbers, it's overwhelmingly not a negative. Do you have a sense from the poll why that might be the case? Did it dig a little deeper to suggest the rationale or the reasons why people gave the opinion they did?
Yeah, I mean, the poll doesn't ask those questions, but I know from being out across the country talking to people, I think there's a couple of factors. I think the first is that pretty much everything about Donald Trump is baked in. You know, if you've got hardcore Democrats hate Donald Trump, Trump has this irreversible base. I don't know what the exact number is, call it 30% of people are going to love Donald Trump no matter what. And then you have the people that are just tuning out, and they're just saying, look, we're tired of all the attacks on Trump. It's just gotten old. We know that every month or every few months there's a brand new attack. It ends up fading into the rearview mirror. Nothing comes of it. So I think people are either fatigued of it or they're on one side or the other irreversibly, and that's why you don't see folks believing it's going to make much difference.
Mark Meckler is president of Convention of States. They're online, conventionofstates.com. They commissioned this poll from the Trafalgar Group about the possibility of a Trump indictment, and he's joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. In looking at some of the data on this, Mark, I found it interesting. We know that young people as a group, quote-unquote young people, don't tend to vote in the same proportion as older people. And I look at the poll, and you've got between, let's just say those 45 and above, okay? That is something like 60% of the respondents. So in other words, the poll wound up asking people who actually do show up and vote. Many times polls are skewed because they give too much weight to people who are younger and don't show the initiative. So this seems to me to be a very fair representation of the actual voting public.
Yeah, and we generally try and do that. And so you'd also note if you look in, you'll see it skews a little bit more heavily Democratic. We generally do that because you get a little bit more Democrat turnout, generally speaking, so the polls skew that way. One of the interesting things, what you're talking about is going into what are called the crosstabs of a poll, looking at what age ranges are we talking about, what's the racial breakdown, what's the gender breakdown and party breakdown. One of the most interesting stats that I saw is when you look at 18 to 24-year-olds, they were kind of an outlier in the poll because they were by far the biggest group that says, this doesn't make a difference either way. And the reason that I think that is they spend so much time online and they're getting all their information online. They're being inundated with this stuff every single day. And so I think they just look at it as kind of white noise out there on the internet.
And once again, those who are neck deep in it, in the swamp in Washington, they think every little movement like this will lead to a sea change in voting. But the realities, the folks out in the middle of the country, the folks actually working for a living, they've got other things to worry about, and they aren't paying attention with every little thing and in terms of it being a monumental shift in voting preference.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think one of the other interesting crosstabs is looking what Democrats think. And I thought it was interesting to see that the majority of Democrats even think that it either helps him or has no effect. So it's roughly 57% of Democrats say it either helps him or has no effect. And that shows me that the people that are running with this narrative, that are pushing this narrative, that this is going to take Trump down or it's going to damage him in some way, it's not even playing with the Democrat base.
I suppose to some degree there are Democrats who say, you know, nothing sticks to Donald Trump, and so therefore they're just being realistic about things. But as you know, and as this audience knows, elections are decided certainly by turnout, but when you've got a third of the electorate declaring no allegiance to either party, that's going to swing the election. And, wow, these no-party voters, more of them as a cohort said this will have no effect than said, well, it would help or hurt. I mean, it really is a non-factor for these people who do not have such deep party affiliation.
Yeah, I mean, they're right in the heart of this poll. Their numbers are virtually identical with the overall numbers. You're looking at about 72% of unaffiliated say it's not going to have an effect or it helps Trump. And so, again, what this shows is the people pushing the narrative are out of touch with the base, because they want to be playing to independent voters. Like you said, those are the ones you've got to play to if you're going to win an election. And this is just not having any effect on them.
I know I've asked you this when we've spoken about other polls. Were you surprised by the results as you saw them come in when the Trafalgar Group National Survey, that Convention of States Action Commission, were you surprised by what you saw?
There was only one piece of data that surprised me, and that's usually what happens. You know, the overall poll usually makes sense. I have a pretty good sense for what people are thinking. The one that surprised me was just the amount of Democrats who said it has no effect or it helps him. I was surprised to see that over the 50% mark, because the country has become so divided on a partisan basis. I just figured most of the Democrats were going to say it hurts him, and, you know, because it's kind of what I call wish casting, right? They hoped that it would hurt him. And I think if you asked them, do you hope it hurts them? Probably you would have seen higher numbers. So I was surprised to see how many Democrats felt like it's really not going to have any effect or it's going to help him.
Survey was conducted Monday through Wednesday of last week. Nearly 1,100 respondents, margin of error less than 3%. So it's a very good survey from the Trafalgar Group as put forth by Convention of States, Convention of States Action at conventionofstates.com. Remaining 30 seconds with Convention of States President Mark Meckler. Number one thing that's on your group's to-do list right now is what at this time of year and this point in the election cycle?
Right. We're traveling all over the country in legislatures. I'm in the Texas legislature today. I've been in North Carolina, Kansas, and Iowa recently. North Carolina, Kansas, and Iowa, really probably North Carolina, Iowa, the two biggest on the playing field to pass the Convention of States resolution in the coming week.
You were in my state of Iowa. You didn't call me.
I was there. I was in and out one day, in and out of the legislature. I'm busted now. I'll call you next time. We'll get coffee.
Well, or do some work. I mean, coffee, that's nice. I can bring my own coffee, but getting together to do some work, that would be great. Mr. Meckler, continued success and safe travels along the road. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks. Great talking with you.
Good to talk to you. Boy, that's good. The guest host comes in and busts a guest. That violates talk show etiquette, doesn't it? ConventionOfStates.com. Mark Meckler is the president of that fine organization, ConventionOfStates.com. Go to their website. You can see the poll that we just referenced. We're going to take a break now, and on the other side, Ben Dieter of KWAM Radio will talk to us, give us an update about this tragic shooting at a Christian school in Nashville. We'll take your calls as well. Again, the number is 844-747-8868. Mark Meckler joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we will continue from the Liberty University studio after this short break. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. You may have heard this on your network news at the top of the hour, but tragically a school shooting took place this morning in Nashville. And joining us now from the headquarters, the flagship of this radio program, the Mighty 990 KWAM in Memphis, is morning program host and news director Ben Dieter. Ben, what are the details as you have them on this Nashville shooting situation?
Just a tragic situation. Again, at a Christian school in the Nashville area, you have press conference right now underway, and I've been dipping in and out of that, learning new information that there are a total of 7 people dead from this shooting. That includes the shooter. Now, that would be 3 students, 3 adults. Learning the latest on the suspect was that she was a female in her teens, armed with 2 assault weapons and a handgun. This again unfolded at 10:13 this morning at the Covenant School. Now, that's a private Christian elementary school just south of Nashville.
A teenage girl was the perpetrator, and 7 now confirmed dead as a result of the shooting. Did I get that right? Because I just sat back in my chair as you recited those facts.
That's correct. And we really are learning new information every second as you've covered these developments before. You only know until you know, and it seems with every second this story gets from bad to worse. It started with a few injured. The latest, though, as I'll repeat that information, 3 students, 3 adults, and also the shooter, all dead, and others injured at a Nashville area hospital. Again, our senator here in Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, just sending this out in a tweet, quote, "Chuck and I, heartbroken to hear about the shooting at Covenant School in Nashville." She goes on to say her office is in contact with federal, state, local officials. Also, Governor Bill Lee sending this out, quote, "I'm closely monitoring the tragic situation at Covenant and also working with the Tennessee Highway Patrol, Tennessee Department of Safety, and assisting local law enforcement." I know I've seen images. It's just a tragic scene, as we've seen this all too often. Parents just desperate to make sure their kids come home today.
Apparently, this teenage girl entered the school through a side entrance and made her way to the school's second floor. So once again, we're back to the situation, Ben, of school security. How could you have prevented such things? And this is for later analysis. We grieve for the souls lost today, but you look at the analysis later of how secure was the building? Was this young woman known to the people in the school and thought to be someone they did not have to fear, etc.? Boy, much more information to come on this, I trust.
Yeah, and we'll keep you updated.
Ben Dieter, thank you so much for joining us from the flagship station of the Todd Starnes radio program, the Mighty 990 in Memphis. Just some tragic, tragic information there. Liberty University Studio, that's where this program is originating from, at 844-747-8868. Let's take a call before the bottom of the hour. Jay is calling in from Memphis, listening on KWAM. Jay, thanks for calling the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you today?
Okay. Jeff, first of all, I'd like to wish a get well to Todd Starnes. We all love him in WAM territory.
Yes, sir.
I, I'd like to touch upon the issue with Donald Trump and his attitudinal issues. He has a son-in-law and a daughter who are Jewish. He has a grandchild who is Jewish, and it was a parable written in the era of 700 to 900 CE called the Ugly Man. Perspective or the ugly man, and it was written about a rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, and I'll shorten the story, but in essence it's this. This very famous rabbi is riding on a donkey and he sees a person whose visage he doesn't like. He thinks he's ugly, and he tells it to his face, and eventually, the man who he besmirched told him that he'll forgive him, but only when he asks forgiveness when this famous rabbi asked forgiveness from the Creator, the one who molded him. In other words, he's saying that he didn't make the way he looks, and nor did Stormy Daniels, nor did Carly Fiorina. And nor did any of the other people who Donald Trump makes fun of. This is a character trait with him that really is going to lose him millions of votes. And there's no reason why he has to lose those votes. He can change his attitude. It's not that hard. So that's my take on the issue.
And, Jay, we are up against the bottom of the hour break, but I wanted you to get in before the break to tell that story, calling in from Memphis. Thank you, Jay, for that. It is a perspective that many have said. Can Trump have the fight without the personal attacks? That is something that remains to be seen. Coming up after the break, a live conversation with Pastor Jeffers. He was at the Trump rally in Waco, and we'll hear from him coming up. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd. Thanks for being here on this edition of the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. 844-747-8868 is how you can connect with us. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the official chaplain of the Todd Starn Show. He is senior pastor at First Baptist in Dallas, Pastor Robert Jeffers. Pastor Jeff Stein in Iowa filling in for Todd. How are you today, sir?
Well, fine. Just great to be with you, Jeff. Certainly praying for, grieving with the families of those victims in that Nashville school. A horrific incident.
Tragic situation, three children, three adults, plus a teenage girl shooter dead at last report, and we'll keep folks posted on that. But that is a tough way to begin any morning and to begin any conversation. I want to talk about your talk to the folks at the Trump rally, but first of all, I'd say you had an even bigger event yesterday at First Church, did you not?
Yes, at First Baptist Dallas, we had a great day. Celebrating the 10-year anniversary of our new campus in downtown Dallas. You know, Jeff and Todd has been with us many times. We cover six yes. blocks of downtown Dallas. And about 12 years ago, we blew everything up, had an implosion that was carried by CNN and Fox News. And we started over as a 155-year-old church and built a new campus. It was the largest church building program in modern history. It was the total thing that everything we did over the last now 16 years was $225 million, and we were able to announce yesterday that we were debt-free. So it was a tremendous testimony to the power of God.
That's just amazing. That is just an amazing facility and an amazing following that you have there. And again, as I would say, that was the highlight of the weekend. Oh, yeah, you also spoke at a Trump rally. Tell us about I saw Pastor well, of course, it was great. But I saw some of the formerly mainstream media coverage and they were bemoaning that there wasn't a big crowd and it wasn't there wasn't the support, et cetera. But you were right there. You talked to the people. Give us your sense.
there was a huge crowd. There is no other political figure today that could have attracted the mass of people out in the hot Texas sun that Donald Trump attracted. And people were energized. They were excited. They were supportive. And I think he's going to be a tough one to beat in 2024.
From where you stand and the people that you talk with, do you hear dissatisfaction with the path the country is taking generally? And do they look at Mr. Trump as the sole individual who can potentially pull us out of this? Or are they considering other opportunities, other options?
Well, you know, I talked about the evangelical vote back in November, and I made this prediction right after he announced. I said there may be some evangelicals who want to kick the tires and check out other candidates and some leaders who will want to do that. But eventually, they will coalesce around Donald Trump just like they did in 2016. What I missed on that prediction, Jeff, is eventually came a lot sooner than I thought it was going to. You look at the latest polls, Monmouth and others and so forth, and I mean, he's crushing the competition right now.
For those who have hesitancy about Mr. Trump and another candidacy, and people who've been with us since the beginning of the program today, we've heard callers who have some qualms. We also have had callers who are even more steadfast in their support. But for those who have concerns, either about demeanor or about the fact that it's time to hand off to someone else, if someone were to ask you directly about that, what's your response to these folks who are, if you will, shopping a bit or have hesitancy?
Look, I don't agree with everything President Trump says or does, just like he doesn't agree with everything I say or believe or do. But on the basics, he is right on target. And I will just say this without hesitation. He has done more for Christians than any president in history. I said at the rally, he is demonstrably the most pro-life, pro-religious liberty, pro-Israel president we've ever had. And, Jeff, the point is, other candidates may say they're going to do certain things, but we haven't seen them do these things. We know Trump's record. He has 4 years in office as a record of what he has accomplished. And I know so many evangelical leaders in 2016, they said, Robert, we can't believe you're supporting him. He's just saying he will do these things. And I said, no, he is going to do them. And he did. And a lot of these leaders have said, you know, we were wrong in 2016 and we should have supported him. So I would say to those who have qualms, you know, you don't have to agree with everything everybody says. You don't have to agree with their demeanor. But I think this is a life and death battle for the soul of our country right now. And when Trump says America is going to hell, this country is going to hell, I think that resonates with people, religious and non-religious people alike. They look at the corruption. They look at the geopolitical tensions. They look at people flooding the borders, and they say, this has got to stop. And for those of us who are Christians, I mean, there is no way to support the pro-abortion, the pro-transgender agenda of the Biden administration that they are cramming down the throats of the American people. We've got to say enough is enough.
Pastor Robert Jeffers is senior pastor at First Baptist Dallas. He joins us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. With regard to how we got so far from what we used to be as a people, that's a question I ask people an awful lot. How did we get this way? How did it get this bad? And I think you're uniquely positioned to talk about the eradication in some corners of society of faith, and it's no accident that things have turned southward in a hurry when we've abandoned faith and publicly professing faith. Am I overstating it?
No, and Jeff, you may have already discussed this. I don't know, but there's a new Wall Street Journal poll out today that shows the number of Americans who believe that religion is important has decreased from 70% in 1998 to just 39% today. I mean, that has a lot of impact on this horrific shooting we've seen. I mean, when you devalue the importance of teaching people and believing there is a God to whom we're all accountable, you're going to have acts of horrific violence like this and other consequences as well. And, you know, I quoted at the rally Alexis de Tocqueville, the French diplomat, who said, "America is great because America is good. If America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great." But America's goodness, Jeff, is tied to the fact that this country was founded as a Christian nation. And I'll say it again. It was founded as a Christian nation. And to the extent we follow God and His Word, we're going to be blessed by God. To the extent we depart and go our own way, we're going to be judged by God.
So how do we, as a society, turn it around? Obviously, from a political standpoint, you've expressed your support for President Trump. That's just one component, the political side. How do we turn this around as a people to make America the image or the reality that so many of us grew up with?
Well, I think we do what Abraham Lincoln said on the first Thanksgiving proclamation. He asked the question, "Why is our nation being torn apart?" And he answered by saying, "Because we have forgotten God." And I said in my prayer Saturday to God that we confess our sin. We confess that we have forgotten you. There needs to be a great national revival of people turning back to God. Not till you change people's hearts, Jeff, are you going to change their actions. And I believe that the church is going to have to step up like never before to keep proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and His ability not only to forgive our lives, but to transform our lives.
Pastor, I have admired your work from afar for a long time, and so I was very pleased when I saw you were on the guest list for today. It was a privilege speaking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join the Todd Starn Show, and I hope we talk again soon.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Pastor Robert Jeffers, First Baptist Dallas. He spoke at the Trump rally in Waco, Texas this past weekend, and he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I mentioned this at the start of the last hour, and so some of you may not have been with us, and so I want to mention it again briefly before we take a break and then some of your phone calls. Todd was away on Friday. He's away today. I'll tell you, he'll be away tomorrow. Jeff Katz will be in this chair tomorrow. Well, during Thursday's program, Todd started feeling unwell and thought he should check it out. And it's a good thing he did, because it turns out he was suffering from a serious illness that required hospitalization. Now, it's not a heart issue. He's been very candid about those with you in the past, so we're not talking about a heart issue. He's undergoing treatment, still at the hospital, but the doctors say Todd will make a full recovery, could be back as soon as later this week, and knowing him, he'll grab the back of the hospital gown in one hand and an IV stand in the other and make his way down the hallway if he thought that would get him to a microphone quicker, because he misses being with you all so much. So hopefully he'll take enough time to fully recover and not come back too soon. But once again, doctors say our friend Todd will make a full recovery, could be back later this week, but is at the hospital. And I know he's on the Twitter machine tweeting and retweeting things, so he's staying engaged. Your thoughts and prayers continue to be appreciated, and we'll keep you posted on any developments with regard to Todd. 844-747-8868. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation after a break, which is next. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is The Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University Studio. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us. That's the number Patty used to call in from North Carolina. Patty, thanks for calling the Starn Show. Jeff Stein sitting here today. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. How are you? It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise.
Okay, I just want to say something. I am so sick and tired of people saying, "Oh, Donald Trump said this." Oh, my God, do they want cheese with that wine? I'm not kidding. I am not. I mean, you know what? The guy was, for 4 years, people respected this country. We had this country on the right track. Do these people realize that? We were
Why
doing... I'm not saying we were doing great, but we were doing okay. We were doing Putin and Xi and North Korea. They respected him. They don't respect this guy in the White House.
Why do you think some people are souring on him? I know why some...
I don't care. You know what those people can do? Go join the Democratic Party, okay?
I know why a lot of people who hold elective office don't like Mr. Trump, and it's because he was calling them out for being the swamp monsters that they are. Because
he don't kowtow with the swamp. He don't.
Right.
He's got their number, and they don't like him.
Do you think there's anything wrong with people shopping around as we get near this campaign? I mean, it seems like, kicking tires is not a bad thing, but do you think they should just say, look, he was the president, he did a great job, and he earns the right to have our support without much conversation?
I really believe that he would be the best. Look at the polls. My God, people hate him so much. The people that are calling in, have they seen the polls? This guy is leading by, Ron DeSantis. I do like Ron DeSantis. I respect Ron DeSantis. But this is another thing. 2018, if it wasn't for Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis was in third place in 2018. Third
yes.
place. Trump came in and saved him. Do people realize that one?
Well, it's convenient to forget things if it doesn't fit your narrative, right, Patty? I mean,
exactly.
It's...
I am so sick and tired of these people, though. He said, you know what? I don't care what he says. I would rather have him come to me and say, I don't like you, instead of me walking and him stabbing me in the back, like Joe Biden does.
You know, that's an excellent point, because I don't think anybody has ever said, geez, I don't know where I stand with Donald Trump. Pretty clear, isn't it?
He tells it like it is. If people don't like that, then go to another party. But I'm standing with him. I'm not a Judas. I am not going to be like a Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen, forget it. He's going to be in the same jail cell as Avenatti. And let me tell you something. Michael Cohen, if they put him on the stand in New York, Alvin and the Chipmunks are done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, which time, Mr. Cohen, were you telling the truth? Is it now when you want us to believe you, or was it
really,
5 years ago?
And you know what, Jeff? Not for anything. Can I say something to you? Does it matter? Well, look at all the money. Look at all the money that Clinton spent on Paula Jones.
I know. I know. But you see, it's very different because it's Trump. See, this is...
Trump would go to jail for a hangnail. Okay.
All right, well, I think they wouldn't even need proof of that. They would just say, this is it. Patty, I got to let you go so I can take another call for the top of the hour. But thank you, dear. It was so good to hear from you calling in from North Carolina. I appreciate it. 844-747-8868. So Patty is very much still on the Trump bandwagon. Greg is calling in from Georgia, listening to our great Starnes radio affiliate, WDUN. Greg, thanks for calling the Starnes Show. How are you today? Is Greg there? Guess not. All right. Well, if he comes back, let me know. You know, one of the things that Patty mentioned, and it's... Here's my feeling. I don't do the type of radio program here in Iowa where I give my opinion. This is why I love filling in for Todd, because I get a chance to talk to callers, we interview people, it's a different type of program. But I don't state my political preferences, because I think my job is to bring as many voices to the table as possible, and the audience is smart enough to figure it out. But basically, when you look at the Republican primary, you had a president elected in 2016, Donald Trump. He was the incumbent in 2020. He is still the incumbent in terms of the last Republican to have held the office. And unless you are a member of the swamp, or unless you are working for a different candidate, you have to concede that those 4 years... tremendous growth. And as Patty mentioned, do you think Putin and Xi would have had a meeting where they swapped friendship bracelets as if they were at summer camp together. Do you think that meeting would have taken place if Donald Trump was president? I would suggest not. So basically, to me, Trump is the incumbent. And if you want to go so far as to say the 2020 election was stolen, then he really is the incumbent, isn't he? So the incumbent, to me, gets the benefit of the doubt. Now, would Republicans be wise to have a conversation about issues going forward? Of course. Will the nominee be stronger if he or she, I suppose, goes through a process where they have to really be on their toes as opposed to hiding in a basement? Yes, sure. But to me, it is Trump's to lose, and if you want to listen to other candidates to see if they are better, that's fine. And we have seen a lot of people switch to work for other candidates who used to work for Trump. That's part of the normal process. But the key is, after the nomination is secure, how about everybody get together for the common goal of beating Democrats? That's the important thing. Another hour coming up. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of this Monday edition of the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarns.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today from my home base. Iowa's home to Todd Starnes. News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Good to be along with you from the Liberty University studio. Todd is off today. We'll talk a little more about when you can expect him to return a little later this hour. We hope that you join us, though, on this coast-to-coast conversation. We'll take your calls in the next segment at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a return guest to the program, she is Sarah Westwood. She is a political and investigative reporter for the Washington Examiner. She is found on the Twitter machine at Sarah C. Westwood. Ms. Westwood, good of you to join us on the program. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to talk to you. And you folks at the Examiner, and I would say you in particular, do such great reporting. I saw a story that you did at WashingtonExaminer.com. I think it was posted Wednesday or Thursday of last week about how these Democrats who run big cities in the country are just missing the point about how important crime is. Talk about that story and what you found, please.
Yeah, I think it's a sort of important point about why the Democratic Party is having infighting when it comes to this issue of crime. And that's because some of these big city Democrats, especially in these really liberal urban enclaves, just haven't gotten the memo on the fact that even their own base voters are really tired of this progressive criminal justice reform. You know, you're starting to see that register in these local elections across the country. In Chicago is a great example of that. They will go vote for their next mayor in 8 days in a runoff, and you still have liberal groups and big progressive figures backing a mayoral candidate who has expressed affinity for the defund the police movement, who still adheres to that model of policing and law enforcement that stresses keeping people out of jail when corporations are fleeing Chicago, voters don't feel safe. But still, a significant chunk of that progressive wing of the party is coalescing around the sort of defund the police candidate. And then you have another candidate, Paul Vallis, who has promised to increase funding for police to get more officers on the street, to get tough on crime. He got the most votes in the primary. But, you know, I think it'll be a really important sort of inflection point in the Democratic Party's evolution on crime, whatever happens next week.
Obviously, as you said, the National Democrats have sort of gotten the memo. That's one of the reasons why the president went along with the move in Congress to limit softening of criminal penalties that had been imposed by the D.C. Council. That's a very different tone for National Democrats and left some of their representatives kind of hanging out on a limb there. How is it that the message, if you will, hasn't become more uniform across the country?
Well, you know, some of those liberals who are in positions of power in cities, you know, they come from a political infrastructure that draws really heavily on the enthusiasm of activists. And so, you know, there may still be activists in these liberal cities that are still interested in lowering incarceration rates and stopping prosecution of minor offenses. That sentiment, though, is not widespread among the electorate. And you mentioned, you know, a great example, one that I cited in my story of Washington, D.C. That's the only city in the country where Congress has the ability to undo some of the liberal criminal justice reforms that liberal city leaders pursue. The liberal leaders of Washington, D.C. really don't care about the fact that a lot of constituents who live in the nation's capital, and listen, I was one of them until about a year ago, and like many people I know, moved out to the suburbs because of these sorts of problems. They're not listening to their constituents because they are so beholden to the sort of liberal activists that factor so heavily into local politics. You're seeing that in Seattle, in Portland, in New York City to a certain extent. And that's created a growing rift between the National Democratic Party and the state and local Democratic parties.
The story is titled Big City Democrats Slow to Recognize Power of Crime as Top Issue. The author is Sarah Westwood. You find the piece at WashingtonExaminer.com. It was posted last Thursday. She joins us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. And if you simply are looking at electoral politics, you've cited in your story a number of examples at local levels across the country in these big cities where the soft on crime folks wound up not winning re-election and being put to the sidelines. That suggests an active electorate that is just tired of not feeling safe in their own town.
That's right. I mean, the sort of first domino to fall, if you will, was last year, the San Francisco voters recalled their district attorney, Chesa Boudin, because he was refusing to prosecute not even just minor offenses, but drug offenses, you know, things that were really making people feel unsafe on the streets of San Francisco. The voters recalled him, and that was just maybe sort of unthinkable as recently as 2020, when that sort of mentality about criminal justice was really prevalent during the height of the Black Lives Matter movement and the Defund the Police movement. To think that the most liberal city in the country would recall someone who aligned with those movements and demand that they have a DA who is tough on crime is just sort of a really remarkable evolution. In Baltimore, you had the top prosecutor, Marilyn Mosby, lose her primary last year because voters were sort of tired of the crime problems in Baltimore and her inability to fix them. In the Atlanta mayor's race, you know, former Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms was considered someone with a really limitless future in Democratic politics. She was a very promising politician and sort of shocked a lot of people when she chose not to seek re-election in the last cycle. But when you look under the hood, you know, people in Atlanta were very dissatisfied with how she had handled riots and crime and increasing shootings, and she didn't really have a path to re-election. So I think you are in these very progressive cities starting to see a backlash from voters. It's just because of the nature of the way local elections work and the fact that, you know, members of the House have to get re-elected every other year, whereas you may have a mayor who still has a few years before they're facing re-election or is really deeply entrenched in the city political machine that makes them less accountable to voters. The shift in attitudes about criminal justice, too, has been so quick just over the past, you know, 18 months even, that voters haven't really had a chance to voice their dissatisfaction in every city where there's a problem yet.
And in the case of the now former Atlanta mayor, she leveraged her incompetence into a position in the Biden administration, which you folks out there can draw your own conclusions. All right, so here's a question, and maybe it's my cynical nature, but all of these folks who are now embracing the, if you will, tough on crime, let's fund the police, let's make sure our cities are safe, all of that mantra, they're kind of coming late to the party, and it makes me wonder how legitimately sincere they are as opposed to just putting their finger into the breeze and seeing which way the wind is blowing on these things. How much of this should we take seriously as opposed to it just being electoral posturing?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, one value that unites most politicians in Washington is that they would like to get reelected. And so long as their positions on crime are going to threaten the prospect of reelection, I think you can count on Democrats to be on the side of law enforcement. They've really quickly abandoned the rhetoric that demonized police. They're no longer seeking the sort of police reforms or criminal justice reforms that they were at the start of the Biden administration. You know, that was one of the Biden administration's stated major policy goals in that first year. That's not something that you really hear any mainstream Democrats talking about anymore. And I think so long as the outrage among voters, especially voters close to these big cities where crime is a problem, as long as that outrage is out there, I do think that there's some real room for improvement, because Democrats are going to be on the side of whatever helps them stay in Congress.
But that, of course, then leads me to wonder if voters will look and say, okay, I hear what you say now, but you weren't saying it before. Again, I just wonder if the conversion is a little too late, but I suppose it depends on what happens between now and then on all this.
Right. I mean, definitely, the politicians past statements about defund the police or criminal justice reform are absolutely a liability. And you saw that in the midterms. You saw that Democratic lawmakers who had in the past advocated to be soft on crime were on defense the entire race. Now, other issues ended up winning out for a lot of those Democrats. Abortion, and obviously there's a million reasons why the midterms went poorly for Republicans, but Democrats were in general on defense about their positions on crime. It's definitely a liability.
Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner, thanks so much for being with us on the Todd Starn Show. Good to talk with you again, and we'll continue to read your excellent work at WashingtonExaminer.com.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Westwood, and she joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here on this edition of the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. Join the conversation. React to what you heard. It's 844-747-8868. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation, 844-747-8868. Again, Jeff in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. I think we have a clean caller board right now, so this is a good chance for you to call 844-747-8868. Weigh in on whatever's on your mind. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, return guest to the program, Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick will join us. Those TikTok hearings, I don't know. I saw an awful lot of grandstanding by politicians who are late to the party, and I also saw a witness who cannot be trusted. But that's me from afar. She was in the room. She can tell you what she thinks about it. And also this Biden administration stuff about, oh, our budget provides for border security and the Republicans doesn't. I'm not sure there's any American who believes that, but we'll get her reaction when Congresswoman Kat Kamick of Florida joins us after the bottom of the hour. I mentioned this briefly each of the last 2 hours. We know people come and go listening to the radio, so if you missed it, Todd is not here today, and hopefully he'll be back by the end of the week. But I'm here today. Jeff Katz will be here tomorrow. Mary Walter will be here on Wednesday. And here's the situation. And all is going to be well. Let's just jump to the end of it, okay? During the show on Thursday, Todd started not feeling well. And luckily, he went to get the whole thing checked out. Turns out he was actually suffering from a pretty serious illness, and it required hospitalization. Now, this is nothing to do with his heart. All right, that's something he's talked to you about in the past and been very candid about his heart surgery and concerns that he has. And that's why he's always paying very close attention, trying to listen to his body. But it is a serious illness. He is undergoing treatment. The doctors say he will make a full recovery, could be back, as I understand it, maybe even by the end of this week. But I'd like to see him take a little more time off and actually get fully healthy, but you know how he is. In any case, Todd is still at the hospital. Your prayers and good thoughts are welcome and tremendously appreciated. So as Todd tries to recover, and we know he will be back stronger than ever, the rest of us. It takes a village, someone once said. Well, it takes a whole list of guest hosts for Grace to call on, and we're always happy to be here to talk to you, first of all, and to help our friend Todd. So if you have a moment to send out a good thought or a prayer for Todd as he recovers in the hospital, that would be greatly appreciated. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us, and that's the number that Kathy used to call in from North Carolina, where she listens to this program on the talk, and the talk station there in North Carolina. Kathy, thanks for calling the Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Jeff. I think that when they find out that they can't charge Trump with anything, mm-hmm. that they should go ahead and sue every one of them and let him take that money and refix our border walls to get our country back. And I think that that Trump needs to grow up a little bit and stop talking so much.
Yeah.
And just do his job, because he does a great job. People need to realize he's a businessman, not a politician.
You know, as I remember the story, and you may remember it differently or better than I do, Kathy, but, I mean, Trump first kind of came to notice when there was, and I think it was like a public skating rink project in New York City, and it was going to take all this money and these years, and he just said, as a young developer, I can get it done in a fraction of the time, a fraction of the cost. Boom, he did it, and that helped make his reputation as someone who was a deal maker and followed through. Do you think he followed through pretty well on those promises in the campaign of 2016?
Oh, I think he followed through with everything, and I think he has the you-know-what-sies to hold up to these other countries.
Mm-hmm.
What we've got right now is so wishy-washy. These countries are laughing at us, and they don't take us seriously. We need Trump back so he can make our military strong again, because these other countries are making their military stronger and stronger. And we need that back. We need to take care of our military, we need to take care of our police, and we need to take care of our teachers.
Boy, you said it so well, Kathy. Thanks for calling in today. Let's see if I can squeeze in a call from Tom calling in from Georgia. I've only got about a minute, Tom, but it's yours. Thanks for calling in.
All right, Jeff, wanted to send wishes to Todd. Hope he's be doing well.
Thanks.
Just wanted to also talk about President Trump. Fantastic, probably the best president we've ever had. And, you know, everybody talked about what he says, but nobody really talked about what he did and what he does and how focused he is all the time. And how come we don't talk about the Russian president and the Chinese about the things they say and their lies that they're always spewing? And, you know, there's nothing in the news about what they say and how they just cover it.
Well, it doesn't fit the narrative, does it? Because some of these people in the swamp are on the take, either from China or from Russia, or I suppose in some cases both. And so, you know, their goal is to get reelected, enhance power, and take this money. I mean, am I out of line with that?
No, that's true. That's absolutely true. And so it's hidden from the news media on what they report.
No, you're right, Tom. You're right. I got to go at the bottom of the hour. I apologize for cutting you off, but that's an excellent call as Tom calls in from Georgia. Yeah, it's the narrative from the swamp. How about we hold the others accountable? Kat Kamick holds people accountable. We'll talk with the Congresswoman after this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Jeff Katz will be here tomorrow. Mary Walter on Wednesday. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us and continue this coast-to-coast conversation. In our last hour, you may have heard a conversation with Ben Dieter of the Mighty 990 KWAM about the shooting that took place at a school, a Christian school in Nashville. At that point, it was believed that the shooter was a teenage female. That has been updated. And again, this is the latest information. Three students and three adult staff members from Covenant School in Nashville shot and killed. The shooter has now been identified as a 28-year-old Nashville woman. Still not identified by name, and I don't believe we have any sign of or any signal as to what the motive might be. But again, three children, three adults at the school killed. The shooter, now known as a 28-year-old woman, has also died, was taken out by authorities, and we have no reports about the number of injuries or, again, severity of some of those injuries. So we will keep you posted as we learn more, and certainly your local station will do the same. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Congresswoman Kat Kamick from the 3rd District of Florida. Congresswoman, Jeff Stein in for Todd today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jeff?
Quite well, because I don't have TikTok on my phone, and I never intend to. But those hearings in Washington last week, oh my goodness. Your reaction, please. You have a better vantage point than I do.
Well, you know, it was 5 hours of truly bipartisan effort to really get to the bottom of what TikTok is doing in compromising Americans' personal data. And the CEO had very little in the way of answers, and in fact, really solidified a lot of the opinions that many of us went into the hearing with instead of dispelling some of our concerns and fears. So it was a terrible day for TikTok on the Hill, and I think moved the ball closer to legislators taking action. See, people don't realize that TikTok is really an extension of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. And every time that you are on TikTok, they use a behavioral algorithm that is designed to keep you on the platform longer by showing you more graphic, shocking material so that they can further delve into the apps on your phone, track your keystrokes, learn more about you as an individual, collect your biometric data, et cetera. And this is, for some people, not a big deal, but for folks who in the future maybe you want to go into the military, into a critical infrastructure sector, work in federal service, you have to think that you are now compromised because the CCP now owns all of your data.
But Congresswoman, he swore under oath that wasn't the case.
The thing that he was particularly dodgy about, that I thought what Chairwoman Rogers said repeatedly, was that it is a federal offense to lie to Congress. And
yes,
he was very careful about saying that in the future they won't track our data, but wouldn't answer directly to the fact that they have been harvesting Americans' data and that they have used it in mainland China. A great example that was mentioned was the targeting of journalists in America who were writing pieces about TikTok, and the CCP and ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, they accessed user data to try to, one, determine where in the United States these folks were, go through all of their communications, so that they could find out who they were talking to in the company. To me, that is a horrifying example of just how involved the CCP is in terms of the management and the corporate structure of ByteDance, the parent company. And if there was any more reason that we needed not to engage further with TikTok, It's the fact that mainland China, the Politburo, the propaganda arm of the Chinese Communist Party, issued a statement an hour before the hearing saying China will not condone a sale to the Americans of TikTok. Tell me that they didn't say the quiet part out loud. Yes, TikTok is owned and operated by the Chinese. Hard stop.
Is this the kind of issue that might actually get some on the left side of the spectrum to figure out that China is not our best friend?
You know, I saw a lot of bipartisan effort and concern displayed last week, and that was very encouraging. But then you have people like AOC who then record a video inside of their Capitol Hill office on TikTok talking about how it's not dangerous because she hasn't received a briefing. Well, that's attributed to laziness, not anything other than that. You can go into the SCIF at any time as a member of Congress and receive a classified briefing on exactly what we know about TikTok today. And I just think that people have to wake up. I've never seen more Americans become, activists for the CCP. In the last 4 or 5 days, my team has tracked over 37 million mentions of my name and my image and video used on the TikTok platform, where 90% of it has been negative and awful and just nasty. And it's all because we are threatening people's favorite social media app, TikTok. They don't care about the national security implications, which is exactly what China wants. They want a bunch of simps that will act in the best interest of the CCP rather than America.
That's the part, and by the way, excellent use of the word simps there. Well done on your part, Congresswoman. this is from a free speech standpoint, I worry about the government shutting things down. But that's not an absolute. The First Amendment, this is me as a former college teacher of law speaking, the First Amendment is not absolute. Paramount should be the national security, and that's just being willingly handed over to an adversary.
And that's the thing that we've been certainly very careful about when we talk about this issue, is that there are 100% First Amendment issues at play here, but there's also Fourth Amendment issues at play. And I'm equally as critical of Meta, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all these companies that warrantlessly collect our data and then subsequently sell it. Sometimes they sell it back to the government for law enforcement purposes, again, without a warrant. So there's truly constitutional issues that we are grappling with here, and that is why we're focused largely on a data privacy bill, because that's going to get to the heart of the issue. I think when we go down the path of banning certain companies, you don't want the government picking winners and losers. It's a dangerous and slippery slope to go down. But we recognize that TikTok is an extreme and exact threat to national security. And so as people are using this app, they are compromising national security, particularly those that are in government, those that are in military, those that are in the intelligence field. When they're using that app, they are compromising not just themselves, but their entire network and their surroundings. A great example was this weekend. I was doing a media hit, and the cameraman was applying for a security clearance in a new career field. And I was asking him about how that was going. And as I was leaving the media hit, I said, by the way, as you're applying for this clearance, has anyone asked you if you have TikTok? And he said, oh, I know, it's so bad. He's like, I know I shouldn't be on it, but I am on it. It's just so addictive. That right there should be cause for concern as you're applying for a security clearance, because what the mainland communists are collecting is information that could compromise you. And when you go through a security clearance process, people are looking for things that could compromise you. Do you have addictions? Do you have debt? Do you have vulnerabilities that could be exploited by adversaries? This is exactly what China is doing. They're building profiles. And keep in mind, I have to repeat this over and over again, China is the country that invented the citizen scoring guide, where they literally use biometrics to gauge whether you're a good little soldier or not. Think about how that could play out, the use of facial recognition and biometric data in terms of a war setting, where our military has already been identified.
members of the military have been pre-identified and their biometric data is already on file with the CCP. It's incredibly dangerous. And so we have a real obligation to protect the First Amendment, absolutely, but we also have an obligation to protect national security and American sovereignty.
And again, for the citizens who don't necessarily take this seriously, I mean, if you search online for something you may want to buy, and you realize that everything on your phone all of a sudden starts showing you ads for whatever that item is, well, yeah, this is how intricate all of the mapping is. If somebody wants to sell me a pillow can do that, imagine what the China Communist Party can do when they want to take us over. I mean, it's no more complicated than that, is it?
No, I mean, you think of a great example in what happened with India when they banned TikTok within their country not too long ago. When asked about what happened to all the data, there wasn't any clear communication from TikTok about what happened to the millions and millions of users in India and their data. But what was found was internal communications within a Politburo meeting that said that they would use that data that they had harvested on millions of Indian citizens, and they would use it against them in the event of war, meaning they would target people based on their affiliations. They would know how to get to certain people, how they would take certain people out. And again, because it's not just tracking you, it's all of your communications with your friends, your family, your coworkers, your schoolmates, classmates. They're in your phone. So everything that you see, everything that you do is accessible to the CCP. And believe me, they're not trying to help you and they're not trying to sell you on products the way that Meta and all the other companies are. They're trying to use you as a foot soldier for the CCP. That truly is what they're trying to do.
Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in. If you have a second, I got an email from the White House press office last week wondering if we would have someone on. And we do that. I mean, I like to have on my program in Iowa, I like to have all voices. And she wanted to talk about the budget and asserted, literally, apparently with a straight face, I couldn't see her, it was on the phone, that Joe Biden's budget would enhance border security, but the Republican Freedom Caucus budget would cut border funding. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry at the bold nature of such a statement. But you're hearing that spun as if they say it enough, people may believe it.
I tell you, they certainly have turned gaslighting into an art form over at the White House. I sometimes can't believe some of the stuff that they put out. We've seen over the last couple of years of the Biden administration a weaker, more defenseless America because of the open border policies that Joe Biden promotes. Look no further than the 2.7 million illegals that are paroled into the country with a piece of paper that says show up at your local ICE office in 7 years and we'll deport you. I think we all know that not a single one of them is going to show up in 7 years, not to mention that there's over 1.5 million gotaways. And those are people who don't want to be apprehended. They run because they know if they are apprehended, they'll be turned away because they have criminal records. They're known gang members. They're on the international terrorist watch list. They're sex offenders. We have 1.5 million of those people who have been caught on camera, but because of the lack of Border Patrol presence that we have down there, we cannot actually apprehend them. And you look at Biden's budget, and this is just the cherry on top of it all, his budget only calls for an additional 100 Border Patrol agents with no additional funding to retain the agents that are already seeking any out that they possibly can through retirement or change of agency, et cetera. When you think about the shortage that we have of over 2,000 Border Patrol agents, and it's only been Republicans that have showed up at the border, that's laughable. And he went on to say that our budget would actually see an increase in fentanyl. How dare he put that out there when in the last 2 years, under Biden's watch, we have seen 35,000 pounds of fentanyl that has been apprehended, and we only apprehend 10%
of what is coming into the country. And he questions why there's 300 people a day that are being poisoned from fentanyl. It's literally the reason why I can only call him the trafficker in chief instead of commander in chief. It's because he has failed on every front at the border. So shame on him for trying to push his failures onto the Republicans who have been down there facing the music, trying to fix it since he took office.
The thing some people will do to gain and keep power. Congresswoman, thank you so much for the time. It's always a privilege to speak with you. Have an excellent rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Representative Kat Kamick, she represents the 3rd District of the state of Florida, and she joined us on the Todd Stern Show, 844-747-8868. That's how you can reach us in the Liberty University studio. Congresswoman Kamick and all the guests on the program joined us via the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. One more segment, we'll have it for you after this break. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back. Jeff Stein in for Todd today. I love the MyPillow I have on my bed. Just changed my life. Just have to tell you that. Well, now, after 20 years, an improvement. New technology that makes the original even better. That's why they call it MyPillow 2.0. Still has the patented adjustable fill of the original pillow, but now it's covered with a brand new fabric, temperature-regulating thread. That makes the MyPillow 2.0 the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. MyPillow 2.0. Buy one, get one free if you use promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA. Thank you very much. 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square to buy the or to get the buy one, get one free offer. MyPillow.com, radio listener square, buy one, get one free of MyPillow 2.0. But you have to use promo code STARNS. Want to use the phone? Go ahead. 800-839-8506. 800-839-8506. MyPillow 2.0. And the promo code is STARNS. All right, I'm going to try, Paul, to have you join us from Georgia. I've only got about 45 seconds, so get right to your story, please.
Yes, I want to show you how communism in China works. They say they allow, I live there, they say they allow Christian churches, and they certainly do. However, if you enter a Christian church, there's a government official taking down all your identification information, and if you need government services or want to get a government job, or higher education, somehow it never happens. So that's how they collect this data and keep you from moving forward.
Paul, thank you for getting right to the point, calling in from Georgia, listening to the great Starnes affiliate, WDUN. Personal testimony on something the Congresswoman was just talking about, and we need to wake up on this and so many other things. Thanks to Kyle and Dylan and Grace for their excellent work, as always. Todd, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you recover from this illness in the hospital. I know you'll be back behind the microphone as soon as possible. If you have a little time, say a prayer for the folks who are the storm victims from last weekend. Those poor folks at the Christian school in Nashville, 6 dead, 3 of them children. And a few words for Mr. Starnes, if you would. Thank you all for being along. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. And this has been the Todd Starnes Show.